We're in Omaha for an event sponsored by Common Ground in Nebraska, and this meeting will feature invited guests from areas of dietitians, consumer bloggers, folks associated with grocery stores and such, with questions about food, food safety, and nutrition. We're going to visit with Ruth McDonald, professor and chair of the Department of Food Science and Human Nutrition at Iowa State University, who will be fielding some of those questions here tonight. Ruth, you've done some of these events, I understand, in the past. What are some of the most current questions, topics that are on people's minds?
I think that consumers sometimes get overwhelmed with the options that they have and have a hard time trying to sort through how do I feed my family? What should I do to make sure that they're eating healthy foods? Do I need to buy organic? Do I need to stay away from meat that isn't grown with grass-fed animals? What about confinement issues with animal husbandry? Is that a safety issue for my family? How do I avoid doing things when I feed my family that's going to potentially cause long-term harm?
Yeah, and there is so much information out there, some misinformation. And in this day and age, of course, you can find just about any kind of opinion that you want to find on different subjects. So how do people sort it out?
Yeah, it's very confusing. The web has made our lives as researchers and educators a little more complicated because the web is not monitored, so pretty much anybody can put anything that they want on the web. And it's hard for people who don't have a scientific background, who haven't been in the discipline or understand farming or understand food and food processing, to sort through it all. So, I think our job as educators is to be out in the public and try to be able to answer questions and help people understand where facts are and where science has led us to understand what things are real as far as we know them today. Science is always a field that moves forward. But I think it's important for people to go to reliable places for their information. If you find a website, make sure that it's understand who's behind the website. You can usually find out who sponsors that site, if it's a reliable group or if it's not. You can usually tell that.
I know in talking to some of the Common Ground volunteers in the past and in their conversations with consumers, of course, safety, food safety is probably the number one topic. Is that safe to say? Are people, I guess, are they concerned about what farmers are putting into the livestock and the crops that they grow?
Food safety is a big topic, and it's in our media a lot because we have much better information now about recalls, and if something happens in a processing facility, we hear about it immediately. It gets really played up a lot on the news. So I don't know that we have more food safety issues than we did before. It's just bigger now, more widespread. People know about it. And then also because of the way our food system is structured, it can be more widespread. So there's a couple of layers to food safety. There's the food safety issue about a contamination or a bacterial outbreak or something that happens, and that can happen for many numbers of reasons. Accidentally, could happen because of poor processing techniques that are going on in the facility. And then there's the whole other side of food safety, which you mentioned as far as how we raise our animals and pesticides that we use on our fields and those kinds of things. And I think there's a lot of misunderstanding and a lot of confusion and frankly, fear that is unnecessary among a lot of people who don't really understand how carefully controlled some of those are in our food processing and our food system. In general, the U.S. food supply is the safest in the world. It provides us with a wide variety of a diverse amount of types of foods, more than any other country. And we have very good monitoring systems in place to ensure that it stays safe. So with all that, we still have a lot of debate about how we personally choose to eat. And a lot of people will choose to go in different directions, and that's perfectly fine. That's great. We love that diversity, but we also need to remember that there's a place for everyone in that food supply, and we need to remember that some of the processing techniques that we've used to produce food have been of great benefit, both economically and for the health of the American public. So we need to make sure that we understand the risks and the benefits of everything that we do in the food supply.
Another topic that seems to be very popular right now is local food, locally produced food. And from what I can tell, everybody kind of has a different definition of what local is.
That's exactly right. Local can mean everything from within a 100-mile radius to within the country of origin. So I think there's a lot of motivations for people to want to buy local foods. There's a sense that if you consume foods that are grown locally or produced locally, that they're going to be safer, that they're going to add benefit to the local economy, that they're going to be fresher, more healthy. None of that's really borne out a lot with some of the scientific evidence. Local and organic are not synonymous. You don't have to have locally grown foods are not necessarily all organic. Locally grown foods may not be more economical. They may be more expensive. They may not necessarily improve the economy of the region because lots of food gets wasted when you have local markets that are not targeted to getting all of their crop marketed and sold. You have some farmers markets where it rains that day and not enough people come to the market and you have a lot of wasted food. So, you know, I think that there's good and bad for all of those options, and certainly we need people to think carefully about the food supply and their choices. I teach a class at Iowa State on the societal impacts of the food system, and we talk a lot about this. We try to have students understand that they have choices and that their choices have impacts, and they need to understand clearly what the implications of their choices are, because it's not accurate to just say everyone should eat local and buy organic food and that would fix everything, because there's levels of complication within all of that that we need to understand.
Another really big topic is obesity, and seems like agriculture gets some of the blame there as well. Of course, the processing part of food, high fructose corn syrup, that's one that's pretty frustrating, I think, for folks in the ag business.
Well, obesity is a multifaceted disease or condition. It's caused by many things, including too big a portion size, not enough exercise, poor choices being made on a daily basis, access to food, access to high-calorie foods in a way that we've never seen before in our society, and then the whole lack of exercise, the sedentary nature of our lives and our children's lives, it complicates the whole issue. The food supply is not the only source of our problem with the obesity epidemic. Things like high fructose corn syrup have gotten a very bad reputation. I've read a lot of research on this, and even some of the experts that initially started this debate about high fructose corn syrup and its relationship to obesity have backed off from that. And it's clearly evident that from a scientific perspective, high fructose corn syrup is processed by the body the same way as sugar. There is no added risk to consuming high fructose corn syrup versus sugar. Both of them have calories, so having diets high in either one is not a good thing from a calorie basis. But there is nothing evil or more specifically dangerous about high fructose corn syrup and its relationship to obesity. Now, the fact that it is readily available and inexpensive has made some people believe that the food supply has been enriched with added calories because of that. And there's probably some truth to that. The food industry has done a very good job of making our food convenient. We can microwave food. No one has to cook anymore. You can pop it in the microwave. You can have a healthy meal if you choose, or you can have an unhealthy meal if you choose. So I think that the food industry is very concerned about this. They are interested only in making sure that they provide safe, healthy food that consumers will buy. So there's a market issue there. If they put products on the market that people don't like or don't want to eat, they won't survive as a company. So they have to go with what the consumer wants. We saw that pretty dramatically with the low-fat diet craze. The food industry responded immediately and had thousands of products on the market that were no fat. Unfortunately, they were high in carbohydrate. And so it's not possible to really just swap out one macronutrient for another, and that wasn't a healthy scenario, but it was driven by consumer demand.
Of course, beef is very important in Nebraska, pork really important in Iowa, and what about, you know, meat as part of a balanced diet, and what do you tell people?
Meat is a very important part of a balanced diet and can be a very healthy choice. The meat products that we have on the market today are low in fat and have a whole variety of micronutrients that our bodies can't get really any other way. The B vitamins are very readily available, and also iron. Particularly for women childbearing age, iron in the diet is limiting, and that can lead to anemia, and that's a very serious health risk for women. So having a balanced diet that contains meat is highly recommended. I think that everything needs to be done in balance, and making good choices about the size of the portions that we consume and making sure that we have fruits and vegetables also in the diet is very important, because there's lots of evidence now that having higher consumptions of fruits and vegetables has many, many health benefits, and whole grains. So a balanced diet that includes all of that, and meat's part of that as well, low-fat dairy.
So efforts like this by the agricultural sector to do a better job of telling their story and let consumers know, in this case, you know, hey, we're people just like you, we have families just like you. Are they making a difference? Is this going to be a positive thing in the long run?
I think so. I think that the USDA even has started some of this with Know Your Food, Know Your Farmer, trying to make people more aware of where food comes from. We've kind of gotten away from that, and I think, like I said, the food industry was concerned mostly about making food easy to understand. It's not complicated to eat nowadays. You can do it very, very simply without knowing a lot about the food. And I think that maybe wasn't a good thing. I think people need to know about food and the nutrients in food and be able to make decisions. I think that's the hardest thing as a nutritionist, to try to help people understand what should they eat. It's not simple. You have to eat calories, you have to eat nutrients, vitamins and minerals. You have to make sure that you balance those out so that you're not missing one or more in the diet. And it's not easy to do that unless you spend the time to understand what's in food and how to make that balance work for you or for your children. And for children, it's particularly important.